we're probably maybe just a little past the peak of spring runoff. Seemed like the creek through town has gone down maybe a foot or so. I have a little marker that I on the Lobin Street Bridge where I can tell sure. how much it's up or down, and it looks like from its high point it's probably down about a foot, but still flowing pretty good. So there's kind of a little bit of a hazard factor there. If you're going to fish streams, just be real careful wading because that water's swift and it's cold.
How does that affect the fishing? To me, it would seem like when it's flowing that fast, it might not be as good fishing in the streams.
Well, you know, it can it tends to concentrate the fish because they kind of move to the edges and can be. So if you're careful, you can still probably effectively fish some of that.
Okay.
But you know, and I'm sure it won't be very much longer. That stream will, Clear Creek will be down, other streams will be down, and they'll clear up a little bit. You know, they're still running kind of off color, but they'll clear up, and the fishing will get really, really pretty good.
You know? And a lot of that, as far as the off color, as you mentioned, a little darker, that's just picking up a lot of the dirt and the sediments on the side as it's up there, right?
Yep, that's it's just, you know, this higher water picks up and starts to transport the bed load, and of course that, you know, the faster water has the ability to transport a little bit higher bed load, and as the velocity goes down and the flow goes down, the stream won't be able to carry that. So it'll start settling out, and it'll clear up, and the water will get definitely more clear, and of course then you can, you know, sometimes you can see the fish, and if you put your fly just at the right spot, you know, one's feeding, you can catch a fish, or you know, so that stream fishing, just have to be a little you know, little careful this time of year. But you know, reservoirs is great fishing. Healy, DeSmet, you know, some of those have been fishing really well. You mentioned been having some pretty good luck at DeSmet.
I've been losing a lot of fish.
But at least you hook
catching them and have them on, and then don't quite get them to the boat.
Right. So that's typical fishing. You know, you just, you know, there's some one I mentioned Healy, and you know, if a person wants to catch a largemouth bass in this area, there's probably no better place than Healy right now. Our fish crew's been out there, and they're doing a catch and or a mark and recapture population estimate, and we've got a really good largemouth bass population in Healy. We have really good size structure and some good numbers of large fish. So might think about that if you're interested. Of course, tiger muskie, the unique species, the management there with them, and some pretty large ones. As we mentioned at the 7 o'clock hour, you know, there's been some fish in the high 30s and even had a report of some in the low 40-inch mark that, you know, and those are darn nice fish. So Healy's just a great place to go. And like I mentioned, our fish crew has been doing that mark and recapture population estimate there at Healy. So if you catch a tagged bass and you're going to harvest that fish, we would really like to know, each one of those tags has a unique number on it. If you harvest a bass, you take that bass home, you can keep the tag, but we would appreciate if you would call us and just tell us what the number is on that fish, because that kind of helps in that whole population estimate thing, knowing how many tagged fish are out there and stuff like that. So if you do that, just call the Sheridan office, let the fish division know what that tag number is. So
you're saying if you catch one and release it, then you don't need to call anybody?
No, you don't need to call anybody. Just know the fact that you've been one of the lucky ones that have seen one of those tagged bass. And you can record the number if you want and just turn it loose. It's just if you harvest it and remove it from the population, that's what's important as far as calculating that population estimate. So you know, in another group of waters that people around here always like to fish are the Alpine Lakes, the high mountain wilderness lakes. And, you know, it's here with third week of June, and anglers are starting to get up to the high mountain lakes. We had a talk to a fellow the other day that had been up to Romeo Lake. And so, you know, Romeo and Willow are a couple that has some grayling in them, and a lot of people like to get up there and catch grayling. So he made it to Romeo, said he had to go through some snow drifts and stuff over the trail, but he was able to get there. So people are starting to access those, and here another you know, couple weeks. There'll be each week now we go, it'll be a little more accessible and stuff. So people are you know, they're getting there, and it's, like I say, that time of year, and we had a, you know, great snowfall in the mountains. We still look up there and see a lot of white, which is, I mean, that's encouraging. So we'll have, you know, some good streams, hopefully all summer long, and stuff. So that's and, you know, speaking of fishing, Brady, some of our wardens just wanted me to pass along some reminders of fishing regulations. Some of our wardens have been seeing some of these violations of fishing regulations, and it has to do when there's length limits, and Muddy Guard 1 is a good example. At Muddy Guard 1, that if you're going to harvest a fish, which very few people do, but if you're down there fishing and you catch a fish over 20 inches and you want to harvest it, you can. That's in the regulation. But the whole body of that fish has to stay intact. You can't cut it in half, put it in your cooler. You can take the entrails out and the gills, so you can gill and gut them. But the whole length of the fish has to remain in while you're in the field or in transit. So till you get home, that fish has to. And the reason that's so the warden, if you get stopped by a warden or one of our biologists, they can measure how long that fish is and see that, okay, yeah, it's 21 inches. You're fine. So you just can't cut them in half where there's length limits. And where length limits do not apply, and say this is usually warm or cool water fishes. I don't think a lot of people do this with trout. But if you're walleye fishing in an area where there are no length limits and you flay, you're allowed to flay those fish when you're on the water or at the fish cleaning station. But you have to leave at least a 1 square inch patch of skin on that fillet, and that's just for identification, you know. So again, our wardens or, you know, whatever, they can identify that as a walleye or some other species of fish. So and that, all that information, you know, that's on the, it's on page 5 of the 2017 fishing regulations. It's in, that information's in the right hand column. And then the other thing we're seeing a little bit is anglers leaving the lake, whatever, they'll have fish and stuff in their live well. So they're transporting live fish, and that is against the law. So you know, you have to, once you leave that water, you can keep alive while you're on the water, but once you leave that water, those fish have to be killed.
So, oh, so if I say I have just a fish I've got on you know, I've got him on a stringer, sure, keeping him alive while I'm fishing, and then put him in a cooler with ice. If he's technically not completely dead, that's illegal?
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, cooler and ice would probably be fine.
Okay.
It's just if you filled your cooler with water and tried to take a couple of them from, say, you're out of Lake Desmet, and you want to come back to town with them, actually leaving Lake Desmet with those live fish in that cooler would technically be a violation.
Is the reason for that so you're not transporting it to another body of water?
That's exactly what the reason is, yeah. You know, we don't want people to, say, go to Healy and have 25, 30 yellow perch and take them to an area where we don't have perch. That's you know,
creates problems that way.
You can create problems that way, and that's the reason for that regulation. So just wanted to remind folks of that, Brady.
Absolutely, and we got a few minutes left here. We can hit a couple more things. Boat safety and registration, as you know, of course, we're talking about fishing and all that. People need to have their boats up to date as well.
Right. You know, they have to be properly registered, and, of course, life jackets. Again, I was just talking to the local game warden, and he ran into some folks the other day that had a boat and didn't have their life jackets with them. Said they got to the water and, you know, 20 miles from town, realized when they got there, no life jackets.
Decided to chance it anyway.
And so they thought, yeah, let's just take a chance. Well, Jim happened to be there and had a little visit with him, you know, and stuff about that. So,
well, it's not safe. I mean, if you were to tip over, that would create a problem.
Oh, absolutely. It can create a big problem. And you know, unfortunately, at that point, we may go from, you know, trying to find a dead body, which that's something that we don't never want to be able, have to do, but if you don't wear your life jacket, that could be the situation.
Yep.
Now, water's cold and this time of year, and it, when Desmet, most times of the year, it doesn't take very long being in that cold water. Hypothermia sets in, and
well, and depending on how you fall over, end up in the water, if you were to hit your head on something and, you know,
exactly,
knock yourself out,
yep,
you at least have a chance if you have a life preserver,
yeah,
on.
Yeah, if it would keep you right, maybe keep
yeah,
your head out of the water.
If you get lucky and, yeah, your yeah, face
you know,
is
for,
up.
and, you know, you could come to in a minute or two and you might be fine. But if you are out and have no life jacket,
and you're sinking,
your chances of survival are probably pretty nil. So you have to have a properly fitting life jacket, and that's extremely important. A lot of our wardens run into a family, mom, dad, and two kids. Well, they have four adult life jackets. Well, those adult life jackets are not properly fitting for the kids, you know. And when you have an 8, 10-year-old kid that, you know, doesn't weigh very much, one of those adult life jackets, you know, it'll keep them afloat, but they have to stay in the life jacket. Well, they go out, they'll just slip right out of those adult
yeah.
life jackets. So must be properly fitting. And a lot of folks are registering their boats now because it's got to the point that, you know, it's warm enough, they want to get out there. So, you know, get your boat registration. And, of course, almost every watercraft, there's one exception for our aquatic invasive species, AIS decal. So all boats, all hard-sided boats, regardless of how big they are, have to have one of those AIS stickers. The only boat that doesn't need an AIS sticker is an inflatable boat. So some kind of raft or float tube. Inflatable boats that are 10 foot or less in length are not required to have an AIS sticker. Every other watercraft has to have one before you launch into Wyoming water. That's the law. And so, you know, just wondering, because we're seeing a lot of the people, you know, kayaking has become extremely popular. And you can buy kayaks at, you know, geez, about every, seem like a lot of gas stations now or Walmart. And sometimes when you buy one there, at most sporting goods stores, you buy one, they'll tell you, hey, you know, you got to have an AIS sticker on this. But you go through the checkout line at Walmart, a lot of those folks aren't knowledgeable about that. And so, you just you buy it and go and you're never told, and some of these people are new to the boating or kayaking, and so they're not aware. So just want to make people, all hard-sided boats, no matter what length, need one of those AIS stickers affixed to it. So it's just the inflatable ones, 10 foot or less, that do not need it.